Blog Talk Radio.
There must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in a sky more blue. If I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why, oh why, oh why can't my dream come true? Oh why? There must be peace and understanding sometime. Strong winds of promise that will blow away all the doubt and fear. If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps shining on everyone, tell me why, oh why, oh why won't that sun appear?
Good morning or afternoon. This is not my usual time. Usually it's nighttime. So good morning, afternoon, evening, whatever. Hi, it's Marcia Cook, and good story is a good story. We have a great guest today, and her name is Allison Bruning, and I hope I said it right. And then she will be discussing, she's multi-talented, so she's like having five people on, because I know I always have like four or five people, but believe me, after you hear her, she does a lot of things, and she's great. So I just wanted to say a few announcements before we begin. Okay. I want to give a big thank you out to Kelly Abell, who has helped me get all my books back together again, and my new book. Well, it was actually The Magic Leaping Lizard, and now it's Isabella's Magic Potion, and it's got new drawings, and it's beautiful. It really, I love this one. And thank you, Kelly, for everything you've done. And Jeff Fleischer, he helps me with my editing. And then we have our great host, but also new thing, Tracy Ford and I will be, Tracy actually opened Silver Lining, and she's having events, and we're going to be having an event on June 30th, and it's for Mr. Joseph, and Tracy's great. I don't know if you've heard her with Willow on their show, The Paranormal Show on Friday nights, and that's a great show, and I don't think they have one for a couple weeks, and a lot of the people on the show, a lot of the hosts will be taking off certain weeks in the summer. I probably won't, and so I'm taking a lot of their shows and having extra guests on, which is what I said I wouldn't do, but I am doing, okay? And let's see, I want to give a thank you out to Brenda Perlin, who has gotten me some of these guests. Also, the guest on today is where I, you know, Brenda Perlin is a wonderful girl, and she'll be on Bennett's show. She'll be on Bennett's show, his Anything Goes on Friday night. And Bennett is also a host on every other Saturday night. And he has a two-hour show on an hour and a half is what he likes to call it. And it's a good show. And we also have Cassandra Dane. But this Thursday on Fran's show, it's 3 Central, 4 Eastern. Larry Thompson and Mike Witzko are on. And if any of you have not heard Fran's show, it's really great because she has a lot of terrific authors on who discuss how hard it was to get to the top, and a lot of them are on the top. And their ideas and their stories are really, it's fascinating. I love to listen to her show because I am always taking notes because they are always saying things that really help with writing. And no matter how good anybody thinks they are, you can always use some extra help. And by listening to a lot of the Blog Talk shows, we've had shows, Virginia and I have had shows for over 4 years, but a lot of the shows on Blog Talk, and they feature us, which is great, are really helpful to authors and screenwriters. And we'll be talking a little bit about that today. And let's see if I didn't want to forget anybody here. But also, oh, the Facebook party for Brenda Perlin is Tie the Bull, the new book, and that is July 12th. I actually wrote notes today, which I as usual don't, but I have a few little notes because I wanted to say everything that we've been doing at the station. And we have a lot of great shows planned for you. And I'll be on some evenings and some during the day because sometimes it does matter when the author can come on. So I kind of adjust to the author author, screenwriter, whoever comes on the show, because, you know, I can do that. So I'm more than happy to do that when people come on my show. And so I'm going to let Allison talk about herself today a little, and she'll tell you everything about her, and then we're going to discuss everything about her, because there is a lot about her. So, hi, Allison. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. You are multi-talented, so do you want to tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. I've been professionally writing for 6 years. Before that, I was a second grade teacher in Texas. I have a Bachelor's of Arts in Theater Arts, so I have a background directing stage, screen, and television. I'm also a screenwriter. I have a Master's of Fine Arts in Creative Writing from Full Sail University. I have had a music video for a local band that I wrote and assistant directed and choreographed. I have been in the arts my entire life. I started on stage when I was 5 years old. I was a classically trained vocalist and went around singing, and I caught the acting bug for a little while, and I've been writing stories since I could hold a pencil. And so basically, anything to do with the arts, I'm probably all over it.
Well, I think that's what I said, you're like five guests. You do so many things. What's your favorite? Do you have a favorite that you're liking these days? Because, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't know that I have a favorite, but because I do a lot of different things. But do you have one?
You know, my writing has actually blossomed into a new avenue. I'm still a novelist. All my books have become bestsellers on Amazon. So, I mean, I haven't quit writing. I'm, in fact, in the middle of writing a novel right now. But my best interest right now is turning a story into something using transmedia. So I like to take a story and write it as a film, a graphic novel, a game, and a novel, and a television show.
That's great. And, well, that's hard actually to do, because the television these days, it is difficult, you know, to figure out what they want. And, you know, that's a difficult thing, because they need some really good shows. And the HBO, Showtime, they're having great shows, and PBS. But it is hard for the regular TV to find a show, you know, that you could actually write for, because it's so there's so many episodes of. Sometimes you don't even know if it's the same person. Right? Sometimes it looks like it's the same person going from network to network, writing.
Yeah, and the networks, you know, pitching to a network studio is not the same thing to pitching as a screenplay. The screenplay, all they want is, you know, your screenplay. If they like it, they'll option it. If they don't, they don't.
Right.
Television is completely different. Television is based on spec. And so you really have to have that golden list, which I got my hands on this season of who is doing specs. And I started writing for some of those shows, and I had to just kind of put it away for a little bit so I could ponder on it a little bit. Because one show this year that was looking for specs, every time I wrote the spec, that episode would come on, like, while I'm writing it. And I'm like, okay, that's not going to work.
Yeah, no.
So,
that is a problem, right, because sometimes what you're thinking is what, you know, as a writer, sometimes, you know, you're seeing something on TV and you go like, oh, my God, and you're thinking of what could happen, and it does happen.
it's nice when that list comes into the screenwriter's hands, because that's a hard list to get a hold of. But, yeah, generally to get into television, you have to write 3 or 4 specs and then hand it to your agent, and then your agent will go pitch it to the studios. I don't have an agent, so it's really hard for me.
Manager, right. A manager works a lot, too. I mean, that's a good thing. And I am an agent at WGA. I just don't take clients right now. I've done that for 15 years. It's very difficult for the agent, because what happens is they keep using the same people. There are so many authors out there that have good books that could be movies, and I really think that's a great way to go, except it's very difficult, because if it's a long book, I don't think they're going to read it. If it's short, they will. So novellas work pretty good. But the thing is that, you know, when it becomes a movie, it's so much money to produce that that's when the new writers suffer sometimes because they want the same old, same old. And that's what they get. And the people with money keep making the movies.
Is that, you know, when I started in this career, and that was only 6 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, because I started in 2008, so about six. I'm horrible at math, though. So you never
right.
know.
It's enough time. It's enough time to get to know what you're doing. Exactly. And you do.
When I started in this career, the first thing that you are told is get on the social networks. You know, it was still in this form, baby form of the novelist could stay at home and do their writing and hand it out. With the indie press coming up into market, it got names like mine who you would have never heard of. And got their books out and started following. You know, I did not operate with an agent. I went through a couple publishing houses. But through the social networks and going on a couple of book tours, I'm now pretty well known in the historical fiction genre of novels.
Which
so,
is good.
It's very good. Back in the day, before the internet and everything, that was very, very hard to do. It was very hard to get your name out, or because you had to be with a big six.
Yeah.
Now you really don't have to be with a big six. You can go with a small press.
Right.
Or you can publish.
You just have to market harder. You know, even if you're with the big six press, you know what? They have to still market. They have to come on shows. They have to do a lot of the same things now that everybody else does because, you know, most of the time, the person reading the book, they don't care who the publisher is. They just want a good story.
Right. And it's been a good thing, and it's been a bad thing for the literary field. The good thing is, like I said, you get to hear names like mine who would not have had a chance otherwise because we don't have agents. So it's allowed the indies to come up through the networks. And actually, I was studying about the indie market the other day, and I saw that the majority of, romance books on Amazon that are bestsellers are coming out of the indies now, not traditional houses.
Right. But
which it was like
that is true.
70%, which is what I write. I write historical romance. So I was like, wow, that's pretty interesting.
Well, the historical romance is like on its own because historical romance is a genre to its own. And, you know, they have a huge audience, and that's what they want to read. They don't always want to read the erotic romance because it's not historical. So they're not interested in reading some of the other – well, I have a romance writers all the time. I did a romance myself. I did a three-short story turned into like a – it's a three-short story collection, my Virginia Templeton series. But I have a lot of different romance authors on, and they're all different and unique in their own way, and they all have different stories. So, I mean, you know, and people – it depends what – they have very big followings. A lot of them have huge followings. And if you've asked some of them, they don't even know how they got it. They just – it started. I mean – that's why you can't always write one book, and if you don't sell it don't sell much, you can't stop writing because you get better. I hope that people do get better, which a lot of them do, if they keep writing. But my job has always been, I felt, to tell people to keep writing and don't stop. However, because the market is what it is, the book needs to be edited. It needs to have a good cover. It needs a lot of things that you have to learn how to do. You can't just throw something out there. And I think a lot of people are throwing something out there, and I hope that changes soon for everybody.
That's the problem. That was one point I was going to bring up, is that we have, in the literary field, we have a lot of books that don't even need to be out on the market because they got bad.
Yeah.
They have bad covers. They're poorly edited. You know, there are just a lot of people just throwing stuff out. And you usually see this massive influx right after Camp Nano and right after National Novel Month, which there's nothing wrong about Camp Nano and Nano. Don't quote me wrong there because
I tried it. I did. It drove me crazy, to be honest, so I went off of it. I tried it two years. What I got is like, because I'm an agent, I got like a million questions. I couldn't write. And then I thought, I need to leave this. So I left. I did never
but
finish.
But you know, you understand the influx that I'm talking
yeah.
about. You
yes,
know,
absolutely. Right? Absolutely, yeah.
And now we're starting to see the market is changing again, whereas at first we were at the writer had to come out of the house and actually be out there doing what publicists and what you normally do because the indie market demanded that the author come out and actually interact with people. That's all
yep.
great and good. I have no problem with that. But now you've got this influx of now we want your same story on the screen and on the games and the graphic novels. And the problem is your day-in, day-out novelist is not going to make as much money as they would have in the past if
yep.
they don't conform to using transmedia.
Yeah.
We are
yep.
actually being pressured to go into a market where it's transmedia. Nowadays, you know, if you want to sell a screenplay, when you go to Hollywood, you better have the backing, the financial backing of about half or most of the fund. Plus, you also need it, the same story put into another format, whether it's a comic or a novel or whatever.
Yeah, but the
it
only
is.
Problem is, though, you know, the problem is that it still remains the same. If you, like, I had several people's books optioned, okay, and the companies that took them really liked them. But, you know, they still have to get someone to do the screenplay. But and if
That's
the
why
author
you wanna...
does the but if the author does the screenplay, it doesn't mean they can't. See, it's you happen to be one that can do it. I have done both. But I've tried for some people to do both. They can't. That's the thing. I mean, some you know,
they
screenwriting is a completely – well, screenwriting is completely different than right. Screenwriting is like kind of an outline to a book. And it's hard to go backwards and forwards. I've done it, and I can do it, but a lot of people cannot do it. They don't get screenwriting.
No, it's because it's your mindset. You know, when you're writing a novel, I always like to write my novels first before I write the screenplay. I with Field of Grace, which is a book I'm writing right now, I did it backwards. I wrote the screenplay first, and
yeah,
now I'm writing
it, right, I've done both, right, I know, yes.
That's completely backwards. When you're writing
yeah.
a novel, you're already doing the world building. So if
yeah,
you convert
yeah.
to the screenplay, you've already got the world building. You don't have to worry about character development and stuff like that. You just have to go with the flow. The thing is converting a novel to a screenplay, you are going to have to destroy chapters. You are going to
yeah.
have to change
yes.
this a little bit because
yeah.
The point of view – you know, in a novel, you're in the character's head.
Right. It's present. And when you're writing, it's past time. And so it's past. And that does become tricky, you know.
Well, no, you're seeing it from the thought point of the character. Well,
yeah.
on screen, you're standing beside the character, experiencing it with the character. So you cannot...
Well, that's what, right. We have to have really strong characters, you know. I like making strong characters, and I do strong women. I've done men characters because, you know, and when I first started out 15 years ago, you know, a female, you know, it really, you know, it still is the same. Unfortunately, I think that the leads are mainly men, and it's very few women, unfortunately, that can hold the picture. They can hold it, but it's just that they don't get the audience that the males do, and which is a shame. And that I thought was changing more, but it's not, because sometimes I will like something. Let's say it's a series, and the woman is the lead character. Well, it shortly after that, it goes off the air. And
yeah,
because they need a man, you know, they don't. And in a romantic comedy, if you don't have strong female and male that can hold it together, you can't get financing for that because you have to have really expensive, the people are expensive usually that are really great for romantic comedies, not as much drama, but romantic comedies, you got to have two big names usually to make
it. You have to have names with any project that you have.
Yeah, well, right.
We're seeing come out of Hollywood now is Hollywood isn't doing as well financially as it used to. We're seeing a shift that we saw in the literary field in the early 2000s. We're seeing it in the film industry now. And that shift is independent films are starting to rise and gain greater attention.
Yeah, they do. They do. Yeah.
In Hollywood right now. So even like, I'm friends with somebody, a famous actor in L.A., and he told me, he said, man, independent films is where it's at. He's like, you know, go pitch the indie films. And he's right, because, you know, there's a lot of authors like me who we start in the indie, in the indie world, and even though I have a manager and I have a virtual assistant, I'm still considered indie because my books are coming through the indie market. They're not big six.
Yeah, but, you know,
and there are plenty
that is changing a lot, you know, but it's still hard to get a script, you know. I mean, I had actually literally hundreds of clients that were really, they were great, okay, but I have to say most of them left because they just kept getting rejections, and but you can't stop. I mean, they stopped, and some of them, I like begged them, I said, don't stop, and, you know, I often think of a lot of them because they were really, really good. And they just didn't have – you have to have what it takes, and what it's persistence. You can't give up, and you get better. I look at my first work, and I go like, well, you know, it wasn't as good, and, you know, and then I look back, and then I see the changes that I've made in my writing, and I have gotten better. But that – I've been in this, and, you know, and it's hard to stay in.
Well, for every writer, and I deal with a lot of newbies because well, I'm a newbie in the screenwriting industry. I'm not a newbie in the literary field, but I am in screenwriting. So I understand where their perspective is. But I think one of the things that being in the literary world and being successful like I am has taught me is the business side of writing, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Screenwriters, they don't get the business side of writing. They really don't. And it's you know, if you want a writing career, I tell this to every author who comes up, new authors who ask me how to do it. This is not a hobby. If this is going to be something where you're just going to write, put it and self-publish it and walk away, you're not an author.
Right.
Being an author, it's a career. I've spent, I'm in the middle of the Armchair BEA conference this week, so I'm attending that this year, so I'm not – this is not my normal week. So, but on a normal week, I would say I probably, before I had a manager, spent about 10 hours business-wise, just marketing. And, of course, I do cover art, so I was doing my own cover art. I also own a publishing house, so I was dealing with that too. But even take the publishing house aside and you just do the marketing, you know, you have to market your book. No one's going to walk out there and do it for you. That book, even though it's on Amazon, is not going to sell itself. There are millions upon millions upon millions of books that your book is trying to compete against.
Right. It is. It's a huge competition out there. It is. I mean, that's one of the problems, though. I mean, this is not even like it was years ago. There are so many people writing, you know, because a lot of people with bad times have, you know, lost their jobs, and they are writing. And the bad thing is they're thinking they're going to make their income up, and that is not happening for them unless they really strike it big, and which does not happen overnight. I mean, it could for some. There's an occasional case that, you know, they just make it. But mostly, no, they don't make a lot of money. And so, but if you go into this thinking you're going to make a lot of money first off, I think that's what happens to people. They do, and then they realize they're not, and then they just give up, which is wrong. They shouldn't give up. But they do.
I tell you, I have written three novels out right now. Right now I'm working on the first books of the other series that you listed, you know, in my bio.
Right.
I'm working on a Turner Family Saga, which is a completion of four different series. That it starts with Bailey's Revenge, that's my latest release. And it ends with Calico's daughter. So, I mean, you're chasing four generations from Ireland to the United States, from the early 18th century to the, I think it's like the early 19th century. So, I mean, that's a big work.
Yep.
When I first wrote Calico, I wrote 700 pages in 2 months. And I looked down and I said, I'm done. I'm great. Everybody's going to want to read it.
I know.
I got rejected by so many publishers and agents and managers, and I look back on it, and I can totally see why they rejected it.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I know that. But that's a good thing, though. I mean, that means you're getting better because you can see it.
Yeah, well, I got picked up by a publishing house in Texas. I went to, and the only reason I got picked up is because her daughter went to college with me. And she looked at it and she said, you need to split this book into series.
Yeah.
Because it's too long.
Right.
And I
That's
learned
good advice.
So much.
Good advice. I know a lot of people don't like to hear that advice, but it is true.
Oh, yeah. So I and I write epics. So just to let everybody know.
Yep.
You rarely will get a novel out of me that's less than 100,000 words. So I write epics.
Which,
I
right,
write
right.
Epics.
But that's your style of writing. That's what you do.
That's what I do. I tried to lower it when I wrote Elsa. And my editor, God bless her heart, she called me up. She says, you didn't put an ending in this book, Elsa, and rewrite it. So I was like, okay.
Oh, I
know. So, I mean, you have to have a great editor. And I have a wonderful editor who's been with me for years.
Right.
But
I have to say, I have the same guy. Jeff Fleischer's been my editor forever. He's been on some of the shows. He does my all my editing, and he is an editor. But you see, the problem is that people actually believe that some people are editors that are not.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people say they're editors. I know I'm not an editor.
My editor is Lee Porsche, and I know she did a one. I know how good she is because, well, the story behind that one is Calico went to that publisher in Texas, and I didn't realize that this publisher was kind of scamming me. I mean, she charged me like $4,000-$5,000 to publish my book. Well, I was new. I didn't understand the difference between a good vanity press and a bad vanity press, you know?
Yeah.
And so there, and believe me, I own a vanity press, and I know that there are good vanity presses out there. So, I mean, I'm not
slamming
vanity.
The thing is, you know, I kind of still, you know, I'm not a publisher, but I still don't like the vanity part because I never liked that word because it really turns people off because it's not really true. You know, vanity, I think years ago was just people like to say, oh, my book got out, you know, and that was that. But no, people really put a lot of work into this. And when they go to smaller publishers, you know, it is hard. I prefer to, you know, I don't know anymore. I mean, I'm changing my views left and right because I've tried a lot of things because that's just how I am. And most of them I'm not that happy with. So I just think that, you know, because it keeps changing and I know that people are writing books and they go to small publishers, some are very good and some aren't. And, you know, that's a problem for people.
You really have to understand the market. And at that time when I was taking Calico down there, I didn't understand the market at all. And I was very fortunate that I got to a point where we were in the process. I mean, we had edited it. We had done it 3 times. We were doing really great. she wouldn't publish it until I paid her, like, $3,500.
Yeah.
I'm like,
that's one of the reasons I do the shows is because I know what that's like. I did not ever pay that because I know that I shouldn't have, you know, and I knew that. But you're right. I have people coming to me, and they tell me, what can I do now? They've spent over $10,000. Some have spent $15,000, and I'm really upset about that. So that's why even on most of my shows, we talk about these things only because if there's one or two people out there that really will be listening and don't spend that much money because you don't need to. And it's so horrible that they really, after they spend the money, nothing happens for them, and then they're done.
I think at the most, $1,000 to publish a print and an ebook.
Yeah,
is,
I agree.
Is the
that's what I think about that much, right? I think that's anything over that. If it's $3,000, forget it.
Mount Springs House, the publishing house I own, I don't even charge that much for it. I mean,
yeah.
I'm in the hundreds. And that was what I charge.
But see, you charge people to publish their books. So
yes.
It's not even an indie then. So it's like a.
It's
a small
press.
It's a small press. You're just going as that. Okay. All right. That's fine.
Yeah, it's author services. And we don't
I think
offer
people need author services hugely. They do. They need them.
I mean, we offer anything an author needs, from graphics to publishing, formatting, editing, social media coaching, writing coaching. We even have a book tour consultant on there.
You have a lot of things going. Let me ask you a question. So when they come to you, well, what happens? Do they not want to? See, a lot of times people don't realize that they do have to spend some money because I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think people get the wrong idea saying that, okay, fine, I did a book. I don't have to spend any money. But that is not true. You need to spend some money.
Yeah, I started when I went into having my own publishing house. I started on wanting to be traditional, and I did operate for that a little while. But I see, this was another great thing about experimenting in the literary arts is I realized just how much it costs to publish a book.
Because yep.
The publishing houses,
I know, right?
They are not
I know.
Making money, people.
See, that's,
you know,
the whole thing.
They
that's
really
one
are.
Of the reasons they don't take people. See, because it's true, you know, and even in children's books, which is very difficult because the children's books do require illustrations. They do require, it's different, it's a completely different market, and a lot of people won't go into that. But, you know, there are so many children's authors that aren't getting published. They really need to spend some money and go to somebody that will help them. And, you know, that's why, you know, with Kelly Abell.
See,
and with,
we do that because now we have children's book illustrators, and we also have illustrators who do graphics for comic books and graphic
novels. That's very good, but you know, the truth is that you have to pay, and that's what I keep telling people, because, and that's also, you know, that is a big problem with agents. Okay, I mean, having been an agent, 15 years ago, it was different. You had to send things by mail and everything. However, it was better in a lot of ways because it wasn't as huge as it is now. It was still a big market. But, like, what I would do for my clients is I would send 10 pages of each script that they did, and hopefully they would ask for more, and they did. And the thing is, though, after 10 pages, if they don't like the style of how you're writing this, they're not going to read more. That's just screenplay writing. And I think,
I remember when you used to have to print off your novel and you had to send it off to the agent.
Yep.
Because I did that for 2 years before I went to the publisher. And I remember one time when this agent said, okay, well, send me an ebook format. And I'm like, what's an ebook?
Right. Because,
like,
you know,
no,
even when I started doing shows four and a half years ago, ebooks were still nothing. I remember even on some of the shows they're going, oh, e-books are going to be very important. And then all of a sudden the iPad and the Kindle, when that broke, it just broke the market and everybody went out and did it, you know, and it was, that's the e-book, you know. But in children's market, that still is a difficult market. But e-books, most of my books that sell are e-books.
I sell more e-books than I do print. And I'll tell you, you know, well, back to my first one, you know, I left that publishing house in Texas, and I learned a little bit about the business. I truly believe that you can learn a lot from every experience that you have in this field, because it's this field is
constantly changing.
You're never going to get bored if you want to
write. I try so many different things. People think I'm crazy, but I do try, because the only way that I'm going to learn and try to help other people also is if I do them myself. And I'm not saying they're mistakes. They're learning experiences, and I've had a lot of them. I think I need to stop learning experiences and just move on. But I do try a lot of things, and I think a lot of people are afraid to. And the only way you are going to learn and get better is by trying. And that's why in this market you've succeeded, because you have been there, done that, and I think that counts for a lot, a huge amount.
I try. I mean, when I opened Mountain Springs House, I wanted to give back to the community. You know, after I left that publisher, I fluttered around with other publishing houses. I was looking at Tate. I was looking at all the Vanities, and I just threw those by the wayside. And then I got picked up by a publishing house in Kentucky. No, not Kentucky. Evansville, Indiana. I was in Kentucky at the time. I was doing all this from Kentucky. And I got picked up by this gentleman, and he's like, okay, well, I will publish it. It's a really great Native American book, and I think it'll sell well. And I was like, okay. And Calico is a great Native American book. It's been called the Native American Game of Thrones. It's been called better than Alexander Tom.
So many different genres, which is so interesting about you. That's why when we talked, I wanted you to talk about everything you do, because you really don't stick to just one thing, and that's a good thing, because that makes you so much more well-rounded and be able to help people. Because once you've gone through this gamut and done all of this, you can help people. Because
well, it's all historical romance. It's just different cultures.
It's still different,
yeah. You know, it's Calico hit the market out of that publishing house, and when they did, I don't even know how they pulled this off, but they sent me my review copy, because whenever you publish with a publisher, they send you a review copy. It can be
yeah.
your PDF. It can be
right.
Word format. It can be a print. It, you know, it's just the final format of
yeah.
the editing and everything. Well, he sent me the print format from Amazon, and it looks perfect. I mean, the formatting was great. There were no grammatical errors. All my chapters were in there. But when it hit the market, I started getting all these. Calico hit the market, and it hit 5-star review within the next day. I mean, people were just going crazy about it. And then all of a sudden, you get a bunch of 1-stars, and I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah, how did that, yeah, how did that happen?
Yeah, how did that jump like that? Well, then it was revealed to me by one of my author friends. He said, have you read the book? I said, I wrote the thing. He says,
yeah,
no,
right.
did you read the book? And he's
yeah.
like, and then he showed it to me, and they had lost 6 chapters.
Oh, my
God. The formatting was off. And there were so many grammatical errors that you just, it looked like a kindergartner had done it.
Years later,
I found out that he had been shifting my my book to between 3 or 4 different editors.
Well, that's a bad thing. Yeah, that's a bad thing. Yeah, not good.
That's why at Mountain Springs House, if you come into our house and you pay, you know, whatever, I'm not giving you more than 1 editor. That editor has to stick with you thick and thin. They
right.
have to remain with you from beginning to end. There's none of this, I want to switch the editor, you know.
Yeah, because everybody does edit differently, and that's right. And, you know, like I know, like if I, there was a part in my Virginia Templeton book that there was a part I didn't love, and I knew that Jeff would catch it, and he did, and we talked about it, but I fixed it, because we talked about what it should be, but I didn't have him fix it. I did it because they are my characters. And then he said, oh, you did it? I go, yeah, I did it because I listened to what you said, but I did it. And I knew there was a problem, and that's why you have to have trust that your editor knows you or the style of you, how you write, and goes like, oh, this isn't right. And they know how you write. But if you keep going to different people and they don't know your style, then I don't know if that's so good either, because it really doesn't work if you have a lot of people looking at your book that keep changing it. If, like, some people have their book changed a lot with editing, and that could ruin everything. And you're right. If you don't read it over, sometimes they leave out something that might be very important.
Yeah. At that point, I was still with the house, but I was really upset. I found Lee Porsche, and I was telling her, she told me she had done editing. She was trying to get into editing, and she has a degree and everything. And I was working on Elsa at the time, and Elsa is a completely different story. It's still historical romance, but it takes place in
I want to talk about that. I want to talk about. So as soon as you're done with this, let's talk about that book, because I don't want to forget we're not going to talk about that. We need to talk about that book.
That's a pretty impressive book, yeah.
Yes.
I gave her the first chapter of Elsa just to test her out, because you don't want to just hire any old editor. You actually want to test them out.
Yeah.
And so I sent her out, and I got back her reviews, and I was like, wow, this woman does miracles. And so I gave her Calico, and I gave her the 6 chapters that were missing. I rewrote all 6 chapters that were missing. And she went back, and she found every single character hole, plot hole, grammatical errors, everything. I mean, she just went through it.
Well, why did they ever tell you why they took out the 6 chapters?
They said that they lost them. And then they tried to shift blame on me. I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work.
6 chapters is a lot of chapters to miss. It's like you're missing the whole story.
Well, all over something else, so I mean, it really wasn't legit. I ended up jumping ship. I jumped ship with him, and I went over, and my book ended up in England. So I went with a company in Wales, and they fixed Calico. That I told myself, I'm only coming if you bring my editor with me, because I'm not giving it to anybody other editor.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Lee's already working on it, and they're like, okay.
Yeah.
So they took Lee and I both. Because the only way I was going to go is if they took Lee.
I agree
so
with you. I absolutely agree with you, because I've had that experience, and you know what? It doesn't work. It doesn't work when you get somebody, because it's not your, you know, I've seen people, I actually did it with a children's book. I said I wanted someone to read it and redo it, you know, because Jeff was internationally out of the country doing an assignment, and I thought, oh, my God. Anyway, they edited the first paragraph. She changed the whole thing. I went, like, I don't think this is going to be good, because it changed the whole way the story was going. In the children's book, you only have a certain amount of time. You can't change it all over. So you're absolutely right about that, because if they start changing things, it's not the story that it was.
Right. Well, they took Calico, and Calico was fixed, and it went back on the market, and it hit the bestsellers list, and everybody was like, we need more from Allison, we need more from Allison. And so I was, at that time, I was working on the sequel to it called Rose, which is no longer, and if my readers are listening to you, Rose is not the sequel anymore, because I've changed how everything rolls in that series. So,
like what I do, originally right. It was right, but you know what? You're making the changes. It's your character. You're making the changes, right?
Originally,
I agree,
it was
because
be like,
you know, it's your people, it's your characters.
Yeah. Well, originally it was going to be like a tale of Twin Cities, where you were going to see their the twin sisters' point of view in France, and it was just going to be it was just too hard. I wrote half of Rose. And it's still sitting on my desk, and it'll probably come out sometime. But I know people are waiting for the twin sister story, but that's not going to be in the next book. So, and then I was with the house in Wales, and then they went belly under, and so I went to another house, and this third house, I mean, it's a friend of mine. She owns a publishing house. It's really great. She said, "What are you working on right now?" And I said, "Well, I've got this poems and essays that I've taken off my blog and made a book." She goes, "Great, I want to publish that." It had already been published by the other publishing house, and so she's like, "I want to republish that." And I said, "What about Calico?" She said, "I don't want Calico. What else are you working on?" And I told her about Elsa, and she said, "I want Elsa." And I'm like, "I don't want to give you Elsa because I want Calico out there. Calico has done really well in the market and needs to be I have people demanding that it be released again." And she just didn't feel comfortable with it. So I just went out and formed my own house.
Right. Well, I think, you know, that is true. You know, I mean, that's one of the reasons. I know, you know, when we first started this, we were going to talk about, you know, your book, but what you know is invaluable to people, and it's because this can really help people, you know, listening to all of this, because I do think people go through this, but they don't know what to do, and they get bad advice. I've been looking at a lot of these groups, and, you know, I took myself out of like 50 groups. I don't even know how I got in them, but I did. And, you know, there are people asking questions, and the part that's bad, and which is why I do what I do, is they're giving people really bad advice, and I'm thinking, I don't understand it, where they came to be even to advice givers, okay? But out there, there are so many people giving advice that haven't got a clue of what to do, and it's really, that's what's happened to the market. So people want to know what's happening. Some people aren't doing as well as others because it's really over the top now, because you got so many people that actually don't know anything giving other people advice. And
you're right, and you know, you really, I tell people all the time, if you really want to know how a person is, a personality and everything, go to their Facebook wall and read it.
Yep.
So with all your authors and everybody in the media, because if you have somebody out there in the media who's an author, screenwriter, whatever, and they're bad-mouthing a publishing house, or they're bad-mouthing an author or another artist, "Oh, woe is me," you know.
I never say anything about it. I do mention the people that are really good, but I don't mention the people that are really bad. I never use their names because it's not that important. There's a lot of them out there. But the people that are really good, I like them to stand out because they are really good, and they can help people.
Yeah, my name's been thrown in the mud several times, and it's because you've got these people who are so focused on me, instead of working to the community. And if you come across somebody like that, and I don't care what – how famous they are or whatever, but if they're bad-mouthing a publisher, they're bad-mouthing an author, they're bad-mouthing somebody else, or they have such a everything you see on their Facebook wall is negative, yep. Run the other direction and
yeah,
not
they need
run.
To get a life. I look at some of these, and actually, because I know a couple people that have done things like this that have been on some of the shows, I'll email them. I go, like, are you okay? Because I'm saying, like, get that off your wall. You don't need this. I mean, it's
right.
Like, it really isn't necessary because, honestly, you don't really know these people. They're fighting with people they don't know, okay? They just met online. They don't even know them, and they are so upset, and I'm thinking there's so much negative out there, and I don't get it because, you know, look, this is hard. But if you're negative, you need to find another profession. You can't do this. I mean, because, you know, this really should be fun. I mean, I think that's one of the things about writing. When I'm done writing, I'm going like, oh, this is fun. And I'm thinking, oh, marketing. Marketing is not fun. You're right. Marketing isn't fun. So if you can find somebody that will help you and you have to pay them, then pay them. Because it is so much better for your writing when you don't have to sit there and do things you don't want to do because or you don't know how to do, and you're not getting advanced at all because you don't know what to do. Go to someone and pay them. You can't get everything
for
free.
And make sure you're paying what they're doing, too. You know, really research out these people. Like, and in the indie world, it is so hard because, like, if you ever get representation, it's great for your career if you get representation. I will not lie. I have been enjoying having a literary manager for 3 weeks now, and it has been a blessing to me. It has helped my writing career tremendously because he's totally like, I will do whatever needs to. You need to write. I'm taking care of it all. And then when my virtual assistant came on a few weeks ago, well, she starts today. So, I mean, even though she starts today, it's been a help. You know, if you want to play with the big boys, you're going to need representation. You're going
to
need help.
Yeah, because you need to have good advice. I mean, you really do. You need to have people that know what they're doing because, really, when you get involved with people that don't know what they're doing and you just take part in it, you're really – because they're going to do it free for you. You know, that's one of the problems. Everybody wants everything free.
But you don't. I mean, with a literary manager – I pay 10% of all earnings that I make, either through my company or through my writings, you know, my screenplays.
Like,
novels,
I had a manager for years, and my manager used to take care of my screenplays, everything, because I, as a agent, didn't represent myself. And I became an agent, similar to why you became a publisher, because I could not – I did have an agent years ago, and he lied to me. And he told me, oh, you can't send this out. And I went like, what? And so then I became a WGA, and you can't be representing yourself. So I really let my own career go, you know, kind of like not the way I would have done it, but I got so involved in my clients. So now I know I'm just not taking clients right now. And I do know I could help them, but I just can't keep working for free. I've done it for 15 years. And I just feel that after all is said and done, in your case, when you're charging people and when people are charging for tours, I think it is very necessary to pay people. And wherever this came up, where everybody should work for free, I do not get it because it's not going to happen. It takes a lot of work. All of this is not 1 hour. It's hours and hours of constant work. And why should somebody work free?
You know, look, literary managers and agents are not a dime a dozen. Not everybody in the literary field is going to get representation. There is a myth going around saying, oh, well, if you are represented, then you're not a member of the indie market anymore. As soon as I announced that I was picked up by my manager, I got slammed by some of the people in the indie going, how could you, Allison? You've always been in the indie. You're not indie anymore.
But I don't
anymore.
See why that – I honestly do not see how that makes any sense. This has nothing to do with the style of writing and that if you're not with the big six and if you have a manager, but you know what, though? The people that are, you know, that are with Random and all in the bigger companies, they have PR, they have help. A lot of them hire their own help. You know, I think the misconception of when a person needs help, they need help because you can't do everything yourself. I don't know where these rules, I think they are making up these rules as they go, and they're not really correct.
I know, and it just floors me because I'm like, you know, I had I had to step down out of some of my groups because I was like, you know what, I'm not going to sit here and listen to you all. You know, first right, I got slammed. Right. I changed my business from traditional and vanity. And all of my followers, they have heard me for years tell people don't go pay for your publishing services. Now I've changed my message because I understand that.
That's exactly right. See, that's that is exactly right, because they hear somewhere along the line that they should not pay for anything. Okay?
Yeah.
And that is from 30 years ago. Forget what you heard 20 years ago, 15 years ago, what some of these books say. It's not true, because you need help and you can't get it free. Okay? This
right.
market is open, wide, it's huge. It does not mean the person is a crook because they're charging you. It means they want to help you and you need it. If you
right,
don't get
right.
to the point
and
where you think you need help, then don't get it. Then just do it yourself. If you need help.
Yeah, I think we just got all indie pride all the way, and it got over our heads. And, you know, there does come a point. There's a reason why there are people in the writing career that are above everybody else, because it's all about your mindset. You know, you have to have certain attributes in order to make this a writing career. Everybody can dream, just like everybody dreams that they're going to be the next famous only way you get to be the next famous actress, the next famous singer, the next famous writer is you have the talent. So you have to have the talent.
You do.
That's not a God-given right. Not everybody has a talent. There are
right.
some people who are writing that should not even be writing.
Yeah, no,
I have
gotten that already. That I realized. I used to think that, you know, people could maybe turn a screenplay into something that couldn't, and they really can't. So I don't say it as much as I used to, because I don't try to tell people, because they may not be able to do it, and I found out some of them can't, you know.
Yeah,
I thought,
and then the other thing is you have to have in your mind that this is a business.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
Writing that novel, writing that screenplay, writing that short story,
right.
whatever, writing the blog post is great and good. You know, it's beautiful. It's expressing yourself. But this is a business, too.
Yeah.
And if you want money, then you need to work it.
Yeah, right, right. And it's true. And you know what? This is a business. It's not, you know, years ago it was more about the craft. It's a business now because as you see, a lot of people, they're really not even good writers, although they are very good marketers, okay, and that works. And with the reviews, they get reviews, and they're begging people, and I'm not doing that. I can't do that. I just refuse to do it, and I won't. I just don't like it. I don't think it's right, and I don't offer people to, I don't review anybody at all. I made that years ago because I didn't think it was good. I'm an agent, you know, an agent. I'm an author. I don't want to do it. So I don't review. And for me, it works, you know, but people, you know, a lot of people are reviewing people and they're getting favors. They're getting, you know, I just think the market is so like, it's just going through different changes now. And I'm keep hoping that there's some sort of normalcy that will come to this, because I think it's way out of whack. I mean, I really do. I don't think people get 300 reviews. I just don't see that, and I don't know what reader is going to want to read 300 reviews. I can't imagine anybody sitting there reading 300.
If they get 300 reviews, more than likely they're getting paid to do it. You know, you're paying somebody for reviews. And one of the things I would tell your listeners is never, ever, ever pay for reviews. Look, your readers are not stupid, okay? They can figure out when another author in your same genre has posted a review on you to make you look good. They
yeah.
can figure out when mom and dad, brother, sister, whoever, even if they're not using your same last name, has
right.
posted a review to make you
yeah.
look better. They can also figure out when you have paid somebody to give you these massive reviews.
Yeah.
You know, the only reason
yeah.
that people give massive reviews on Amazon is to raise the stakes. There's a reason that whenever one of my books come out, my book is automatically in the top 200,000 on Amazon. It doesn't go down in the millions anymore. And the reason being is because I have six books out.
Yep. See, no, but isn't it kind of, isn't it, I think what's happening, though, it's so screwed up. I think people really don't understand it. And you look at somebody and you go, like, how did they get to be number 5,000 or whatever? I mean, it is that can drive people crazy. So, you know,
well,
it's
an algorithm.
It is hard to get this for people. It's very – it's not – you know, it's just something's wrong with that system. I don't know what it is. But it doesn't seem right.
By sales, how many books the author has out, and the number of reviews total.
Yeah.
So the more books you have out, the higher ranking you're going to be because – and I agree with Amazon in this. If you have only one book out, that is not a career.
Right. No, right.
A career
that's,
is
I
when
agree.
You have
right.
more than
exactly.
one book.
Right.
So if you're going to write for a living, if you really want to make this a life, then you cannot be sitting there and just put one novel out. Look, I write about 4 novels a year. That's pretty good because
yeah.
most of your big novelists are doing that. But I may write 4 novels, but that doesn't mean I'm releasing 4 to 6 novels. My goal is to release 4 to 6 novels a year. I'm not always going to meet that goal because, you know,
right.
I may have a good, you know, I may be a known author, but I can tell you I have a life. So,
right, right.
You know,
and that, right,
I have
right.
a husband. I have,
yeah.
you know, I have a life. Things
I know.
Get in
and
the
that,
way.
See, that's the whole thing. That's, you know, I myself am finding out some of the things about myself that I need to change because I know I do, because I just feel that the way the market has been the last several years, you know, following things, trying to do this, Facebook, all of the social media, everything, that really does, I think it does hinder your writing because I think sometimes when you're writing, you're thinking, well, maybe I should be doing marketing. And I think the marketing does work better, not as much. If you do too much marketing, it's not good either. So that's, you know,
you
and finding which
you.
Is good. I don't even know what's good anymore myself.
Yeah, you have to know who your target market is. You know,
yeah.
I write like I said, I write historical romance. But like you mentioned, I have 3 novels out. I'm working on a 4th. But all 3 of my novels hit a different target market.
Right.
You know, and I didn't understand the power of target marketing until I hired a social media coach who told me about target marketing. And I was
yeah.
like, why did I not think of this before, you know? A target market is the demographics in which who's going to pay to buy your book or to read your book.
You want to talk
you
about
know,
your social marketing for a minute because you have that, you offer that. Tell me about the coaching. I mean, because there might be people out there that need coaching. So what type of coaching?
We offer that through Mountain Springs House.
Okay.
We offer it for $25 an hour, which is really not a bad price.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can actually be much higher. And what we do is we take a look at all your social media networks. And really the top 4, which is always changing, but right now the top 4 are Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and Pinterest. Those are the if you have.
Yeah,
to
I do like Pinterest. I love Pinterest. I think it's great.
And honestly, another author had manipulated her Pinterest account, and I copied her same routine, and I really love it. But that's what you do in the writing world. You know, you become friends and figure stuff out.
Well, I don't think it's copying. You know what it is? It's just sharing because I
yeah.
do think that you know. I find it very unsettling that people don't want to share anymore, and they're just very interested in themselves. I really feel that sharing can be a very good thing for everybody, and making friends in this market and trying to help other people is not a bad thing, you know.
Correct.
And I think it's a shame that it was very different 3 years ago. People were really sharing a lot more. Now, you're right, it is about me, me, me. And you know what, though? It's a very small way to think. You really should look
mm-hmm.
at the big picture and think of helping other people, sharing, and they will help you too, and that works. Sharing is so much
social
better
media
than not
right
sharing.
There.
Yes, and if you don't share with your friends, it's really a shame. And Facebook has actually changed a lot of things, and I didn't even realize some of it. I had some people on my show a few weeks ago, and we were talking about it, and I think that they're right. I think because I have found out people, like I do shows all the time, World of Ink is out there, we're everywhere, and some people that were on my show thought, because they privately emailed me, they go like, we didn't see when your show was on. I'm going like, what do you mean? How could that be possible? We think we're doing a lot of social media, and they weren't seeing it because Facebook had just decided to, I think it's the last 20 people that you Facebook get what you're doing. The rest of the people, you don't. So you almost have to do events now.
They have to, yeah, they have to subscribe to your page to get your feed now. You know, but there's a big social media shift right now going from Facebook to Google Plus. Google Plus is the place to be right now. Everybody's using Facebook, heading over there.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's always going to be like that, because with social media, it paradigms all the time. It shifts all the time. You know, Twitter was popular place, it still is.
What you're saying is when you get a coach, they tell you what they think might be good, because sometimes somebody else can see what you can't.
Actually, what we do is we take all your social media networks, we analyze them, we see where you're doing good and where you're not, and we help you to improve on that. We're not going to do that for you.
No, right. That's a good idea.
For you, you can go buy the social marketing package that we offer, because we also offer the package where we can monitor your social media for you.
Yeah, because I tell people that's not a bit, because we offer that. And, you know, another thing is what people can do, which I don't think is a bad idea, which is when they do the book tours, like sometimes when you keep it on somebody's site for a month, you know, where you're on their blog. I think you can do that with many people, because it's reaching different people. So that's not a bad thing. You do that?
We offer tours as well. So, like, if you have a brand new release, you can hire us and we'll blast it out on all the social media. We have plenty of people who are bloggers who, like myself,
right.
I've been blogging since 2010. So I'm getting well known in the blogging world as well.
I blog also. I blog. But, you know, what happened to me in the blogging is I was giving advice out when I first did it years ago. Now I'm putting on book reviews. I'm putting on a lot of different things, articles I find that are good. But I am going to actually start to write what I think, because I see so many things out there. I know I need to write it down. I just, you know, and that's why blogs can be very good for people, you know. And my problem is, which I do too much of a lot of things. I have too many pages,
but
I do different things.
I have a set routine on my blog, and my readers know that if you're going to come to my blog, then you're going to – they know my routine. Like, I generate between about 150 and 300 visitors a day.
Yep.
And right now it's actually climbing because, like I said, I'm in the middle of the armchair BEA. So whenever you're in between a blog hop, your staffs are going to – during blog hops and – this isn't a blog hop. This is a convention that runs parallel. It's the online convention for the book, the BEA conference that's in New York City happening right now. So, I mean, this is my first time attending a major conference, and so I'm excited about it, you know. Next year, I plan to be there signing books. So,
last year I was going as media and I didn't get to go, and, you know, I don't love to fly, but I'm doing this. I'm going to be flying more, you know, because I know I can't go anywhere. I just did come back from some place where I did fly, but, that has held me back, and that's a bad thing, because I need to get out more and do that. And I also think when people go for book signings, you know, I did that before, and I do that with the kids' books. I think those are still conventional ways of still reaching people, and it is so nice to talk to people about what you're writing, and in the kids' market, it's great because they're the best audience. But, I mean, things that work.
Well, I don't write books. I write historical romance.
Yeah.
But each of my books that I have out right now are a different target market, and in order for me to be a successful author, I need to know who I'm targeting.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're right about that, definitely.
With Calico, Calico is the first book in the Children of the Shawnee series, and I'm currently writing the movie adaptation for that book. And that is really popular with a lot of the metaphysical community. They eat Calico up, like, real fast.
Sometimes, you know, it really is, you know, it is strange how, you know, you just don't always know who your market is, and when you know if something switches over and somebody says something that they like it, that you were shocked that they even read it, it's really exciting that they like it, you know. And I think that's a good thing.
Writing Calico, that might actually happen just because of the fact that Calico has a lot of metaphysical stuff in it. You know, it's got demons and shamans and magic. And
well, I think you would like to be on Willow Cross's show with Tracy Ford. I think they have a great show on Friday night, so I will talk to Willow about it, you know, on Friday night, because that's a fun show. That's a really fun show.
And the other, you know, Calico is written from the Shawnee's point of view, not the white person's, even though the main character is white. So it takes a different spin on it. And so the Native American community has picked it up as well.
That's
not
great.
As much as people. Yeah.
I want to talk for just a few minutes before, you know, I want to talk about Elsa. So just
let's talk about Elsa. Forget Bailey's Revenge. No, don't forget Bailey's Revenge. Go buy Bailey's Revenge. That's an Irish, if you're Irish-American and you're really into the Irish culture, you'll love Bailey's Revenge.
I want you to also give your website and everything. Your website is on Blog Talk Radio, and your website is on my blogs, because I want your website, you know, they'll see a lot of the things that you do. But I want you to give out your website so before we, you know, when we talk about this, because I want them to know. Go ahead.
www.abruning.com. My email is alisonbruning@gmail.com. So you can contact me via email. Go to my website. And actually, my website is pretty awesome because my e-books are for sale, plus the print books, but the e-books are for sale on my website, and they're less expensive than if you go and buy them on Amazon.
You know, do you like doing that? You know, I think that I was just talking about that today, to do that with my children's books and some of the things. Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I like it. I would, you know, my e-books sell on Amazon for $3.99. E-books on my website, which is the same thing, $2.99. So you're saving a buck.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good, you know, that's the other thing about the e-books. They are so much less money, you know, and that's true. So people are more likely to take a chance on an author and really like the author, where they wouldn't want to spend maybe $15 for the book, hardcover.
Well,
you know,
you can also, with your e-books, if you go to authorgraphs.com.
Yeah, right.
I can sign your e-book for free.
Right. That's a good thing. I know. That's one thing, you know, that's one of the things that I'm going to be working on with Virginia with World of Ink. We're going to probably work on trying to figure out which are the really good things to be on for people that will help them, because everybody's on way too many things. Like you're saying about the groups, they're just talking about nothing, you know, and it's like ridiculous.
If you come to the Mountain Springs House website, that's mspringspub.com, we can help you with that. We can teach you how to use a blog. We can teach you how to do your social media. We can even set up your social media for you. We have the resources to do that. Anything and everything that has to do with the writing world, we basically can do for you. And the reason I set that up is because, like, it took me 5 years to figure this whole thing out.
Yeah, I know. It's very difficult.
And you can get so lost in the world of literature that, you know, you just want to give up. I just wanted to give back to the community.
Right. I had a show because people were so overwhelmed. It was a publisher, and I saw his blog. I said, I think you need to come on, and he did with a lot of people, because it is very overwhelming. And so don't feel like that, like, even if they go to a few people, like they would go to you, they would go, let's say, to Kelly, like to go to Virginia, whatever. And I think you need to be out several places and that give you good service, because I think it's different markets, and I think it's not that expensive to do it that way, and it's really worthwhile when you have a few people that you can count on and go to, because, like we said before, spending a little money for good things works.
Right,
you know,
right.
And don't be embarrassed if you don't know how to do it. See, some people are embarrassed to tell people that they don't know how to do it, and they shouldn't.
Yeah, and don't sit there and think that the publishing houses aren't talking. I will tell you for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is a small community. We all know each other. You know, we talk to each other all the time. I can tell you right now, I constantly talk to about three different other publishers who are friends of mine.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's and that always gets me because, like, if you badmouth a publisher, you think they're not going to hear about it, but we do. We know.
It's a smaller market than people think, right? That's true. You're right. It is true. But the thing is, though, is that, you know, that's why I urge people to really listen to a lot of the shows because I have people on that will benefit them because they need help and they don't know where to go.
People think that once you read – and I'm not at the top of my game by no means, okay? My name is not James Alexander Tom. My name is Allison Bruning.
But
that's fine.
That doesn't mean anything because, you know what, actually it's a good thing because you've done this, you've been there, done that, and I think that helps.
Oh, yeah, and you know, I'm still growing. My name is up there in my genre, so I do have respect. People have respect for me, and I have respect for people who have been in there. I still get googly-eyed and giddish girl when I hear them. If I ever came across Margaret George, you know, I'd probably be dumbfounded because she's one of my literary heroes.
When you go to a movie, like when it's a good movie, I'm like so excited. My husband, he thinks I'm crazy. Right? I go like, oh, this is great. You know, and I'm so happy about it. You know, and I think I wanted to start doing, you know, actually some reviews because some movies that I see are really good and then they get bad reviews and nobody goes to see it. And that's really ridiculous, you know, not fair.
But even if you have a lot of people, like a lot of book bloggers, and it was talked about today at the convention, how the book bloggers, we were talking about author-blogger interacting with the author. They were all saying, oh, authors are like celebrities. You know, I don't know how to talk to them and everything.
No, we want to talk. We absolutely want to talk to people. Absolutely.
We want to talk to you.
I love it. When I go someplace and somebody said they've read my book and they're talking to me about my characters, oh, I love it. I'm so happy. Like, yes.
You like
my character. I never thought, when I did my Virginia series, I never, ever thought, I did it like to see if I could do it. And then people started liking Virginia. It's actually funny because Virginia, my partner, World Inc., that's her name. But when I talk about my character, Virginia, and people really like her, I'm like, oh, I'm happy. You're right. Authors really love to hear that. And they also want to hear that you didn't like something.
I was walking down the street somewhere in a town I had never been to before, okay? And I told somebody my name, and they said, I've heard your name. Why do I know your name? And I was like, do you read historical fiction? And he says, yeah. And I said, I'm Allison Bruning. And he goes, oh.
Yeah. I know, because you really do want to talk to people. I know, we love it. That's why when I'm in the kids, you know, when I go to the kids, I also do, you know, romantic. I do regular books. I do screenplays, and I've done a nonfiction. But when you go to the kids, it's just like, you know, you're starting a child liking books. And there's still nothing better than that to keep reading up. But it's so great. You're absolutely right to bring that up because it is fun when people tell you they like your work.
But, you know, you have to realize we're also human. You know, we're not like, you know, there used to be a time where you could come directly to me and ask me things and everything, but now I have a virtual assistant. So anytime that you're trying to contact me to do an event or, you know, you want to book me for a book signing or whatever, it happens to be talk at your local library, present my book at your book club. I mean, I will do all those things. Don't get me wrong. I will do all those things. But you have to go through my assistant. And the reason that you have to go through my assistant is because she does most of my marketing now. That doesn't mean I don't market. I mean, it's very important for the author to be reachable.
And
on the social network. Acting and everything, and I do that. Don't get me wrong. She does not do that for me. The only thing she does is if you go on Facebook and you go to one of my Facebook pages for any of my books, it's probably her posting. It's probably something.
Well, I do think it's very good for the author to be, you know, like you're on a show right now, and I think that's good because that'll go on your website and people hear your voice and they know you're real. And that's why, like when we do our book launches and Tracy does them, I do them, Virginia, we're doing them, we do it with a live tweet. And I think, see, getting live tweet, I'm always looking for people to do live tweets. So far I haven't found anybody. I would like to do all my shows on Twitter live because I think... That's a good way to meet people.
Yeah, I did my very first Twitter party yesterday. I was participating in the BEA Twitter party.
It's good. Twitter's good.
Oh, it was so much fun. I had never done it. I was like, oh, my gosh, I got to do this again. We have another one this afternoon. I'm having so much fun interacting with
these
readers.
See, I think that's one of the best things is the Twitter parties, and that's why I'm glad Tracy's doing them and I'm doing them, and, you know, I think they're so much fun, and I think that's a whole new market out there because you're actually being able to talk to people. All the TV shows are doing it now. They have the hashtag, and that's really very good. It's good because you are actually communicating with people that you might not have ever communicated with, so I think it's so much fun.
Oh, it's great. You know, social media is great. So
yeah, I agree with you.
But I know,
all right, so like, I want to talk to you about one other thing. Okay, so people can find you, and they will get the services that they need, and it's not that expensive.
It is not
so,
very expensive.
Right.
I
so
mean,
I do
you know
think
what?
That
editing's a dollar a page.
Yeah.
A
that
dollar.
That is really not a lot at all. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, we can publish, we publish your book, and it's not very expensive. And we have different plans. So, I mean, look, we understand that it's not a one-size-fits-all. You know, we're going to personalize.
Well, see, that's the other thing. Right. That's what we always say, too. You know, and I do think that I hope that people, when they're listening, will realize that these services that you offer, that we offer, that a lot of the people offer – are not a lot of money, but they do need to pay for things. Truthfully, I pay for things. I do all the time because I need certain things.
Pay for things. I will let you guys know this, is that I do have an operations manager. So even though I own the company, I'm not the one that you would be contacting. You'd be contacting our manager. So don't think for a moment that I don't know what's going on in my company.
Right.
I talk to my manager all the time.
Right,
you know?
Right. Because when you own a business, it's more to it than all of that. And that's a good thing. You know, I mean, and I think that's one of the things when people are sharing things that have been there, done that. See, to me, that works well because I think it's important that you've had some experiences that you didn't love, so that's why you're trying to help other people. And I agree with that because I know I've had some things that I wasn't happy with, but that's how it is. I mean, you have to try. But spending $4,000 and $5,000 on a book, like you said before, is not the way to go.
I used to think that all these bigwigs that had literary managers and agents and all these people, they don't want to talk to the lowly little indie person. But I don't see it that way anymore because, I mean, I haven't abandoned my status as an indie author. I'm still an indie author.
I just think you're an author. You know, I mean, I'm not good with labels because I just feel that, which is the name of my show, is a good story is a good story. I think that authors, you know, and I think that people that are reading books, look for the good authors. Look for the people that care about what they're writing and enjoy writing. And don't worry if they're indie, if they're whatever they are. But like the story. Don't listen to what they read out there and say, don't read an indie author, don't read this author, don't read that. It's so negative. Just try to find books that you like.
Exactly. You know, I didn't betray anyone. This is a business, and I have to make business decisions that are in the best interest of my husband and I. You know, I'm still out there. I'm still helping other authors. It just means that I've had to make some changes in my life.
Well, I think we all have to make changes. You know, I mean, yeah, I really, that's true. I mean, I'm going to make some changes myself because I say that all the time, but I really am. People say, oh, no, you're right. Because I do talk to people a lot on the phone, and I've decided, you know, I was sick last week and the week before, and I felt like I can't keep staying on the phone because that is me. I keep talking and trying to help people. I really think in my – it's not really – I can't write as much as I want to because I'm too worried about everybody else. So that's why I'm trying to give people shows where they can hear what needs to be done. And that's why I do appreciate you coming on and talking about this, because I think it's necessary that people hear these things, and so they don't feel like they're getting taken advantage of when they're really not.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, I'm an author. I've been an author. I will always be an author. The only reason I took the stance that I did with getting accepting the management, because,
yeah.
I mean, when you are going at, you know, as an agent, you got to be selective about who you bring on. You know,
yeah.
I had to interview with my manager before he decided
yeah.
to bring me on, because, it's not my, you know, it's not my decision. That's his business. He makes
right.
money. That's a business. Just as my virtual assistant.
I had a great
virtual
manager for years. He's ill now. You know, he's not ill. He's ill now. So, you know, but it was very nice to have a management that would read my work and tell me what he thought, and we'd have really honest discussions, and he was great. So I think, yes, it is really nice to have somebody tell you the truth. You want the
yeah.
truth. Authors want to hear the truth. And if they don't, they're not authors, because not everything is always perfect.
Well, and, you know, my virtual assistant, she charges $1,000 to $2,000 a month. Why? It's a business.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. As a person
understand.
That has done a lot of this for free, I do know. And I have changed my attitude, because I do know that not even talking about paying me, I'm talking about paying other people, because I do pay people because I need things done. And I want them done, and I want to go on different people's blogs and do things like that, and I have to pay. So I think that they have
mm-hmm.
to pay, too. I think there's nothing
mm-hmm.
wrong with that. You need to have tours, you need to do things, and you need to have launches and tweet parties, and you need to pay. And honestly, it does work when you do pay, not huge amounts like both of us are saying. So it was a pleasure having you on to talk about all this, because I really, you know, it turned out into a different conversation. I knew it would, because after I did talk to you on the phone, I knew that you could help people out there by what you do and talking about it.
I love helping people. And I just challenge, you know, to take a look at my website for my books, because I have three different books. We didn't get a chance to talk about Elsa, but that's okay.
I know. I feel bad about that. I know. And I wanted to talk at the beginning. I have a note here that don't, you know, just to talk about that. But we got naturally off on a tangent because you are multi-talented. So, you know,
thank you.
When I have someone like that on a show that can talk about all phases, I think it's good to hear.
Thank you. I think it's very important for authors, and new authors especially, to understand the publishing aspect of it, because, you know, for a long time I just went from publishing house, not understanding how publishing works. And it wasn't until a publisher had told me, you know, you really need to understand how the publishing market works in order to understand what happens to your book. And when I started paying attention to how the publishing market works and how the process works and everything, I learned so much.
I know.
And it benefited me as an author.
Yeah, it does help.
So,
I mean, it really does help. You know, honest to God, it does help. And that's one of the things that I like to do, because I need – everybody needs help in how to figure out what they want to do with their career.
And, you know, in the end, I would just – if you really want this writing career, you got to work for it. You know, there's that creative side where, okay, you wrote the novel. Oh, it's nice and pretty. And you know – you can have
I may be taking you up on the coaching only for one thing, because I have so many things, and I, you know, everybody that knows me, I don't want to confuse them. That's why I would like somebody perfectly new to say, like, okay, you don't need this, you don't need this, because
mm-hmm.
I have a lot of everything, and I don't think I need it all. And that's what I'm trying to do, is downsize it so I can – I think that's really one of the tricks now, to downsize it to do it right. Being
exactly.
everywhere isn't the answer. So I think I may – use your services also.
If you Google my name, I will be on the first three pages of
yeah.
Google. I didn't do that overnight.
I know. See, that's the other thing. I know Virginia and I were talking about that because, right, it's taken me all these years to do what I do. I have a lot on me, too, because we've done a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing. And so that's what people need to do. They need to establish because you know as well as I do, when somebody meets you, all of a sudden, 2 seconds later, they go Google you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to appear. And you'd be surprised how many people that are even best-selling authors with huge, huge, they're not on anything. It's amazing. I don't understand how that could be, but it is true. Because I've had looking for people that have been on shows and they sell a lot of books and they're really not, their marketing is not anywhere. And I'm trying to find out why you can't find their name.
One of the first things any publishing house is going to do is Google your name.
Yeah, I think that's true. And unfortunately,
because
that's the world
know.
Now. That is true. It's true. You're right. Everybody does. Right after you get off the phone, people go.
For your listeners, I'm just going to be blunt. The publishing house is not there to publish your book. That publishing house is there to make money. So if you have been extended a contract from a publishing house where you don't have to pay, that means they believe that they're going to make money off of you. I know that a lot of readers.
But they don't
not
always
readers.
See, but that is the problem, though, in a nutshell. They don't make money, so once they don't make money on you, they classify you and they don't push you as much. Sorry, that is how it goes.
Back in the day, you used to be able to get advancement checks.
Oh,
and everybody
yeah.
like, yay, I'm getting advancement
yeah.
checks, now I'm getting royalties. Right. No. No.
I mean, there's a lot of small, you know, so basically at the end of the day, people have to really check out who they're using. And if somebody does charge you, You know, just make sure that you're getting what you pay for, and that's fine. And don't look at the old school of, no, don't pay for anything. Because if you're not
right,
going to pay for anything, you may not get anywhere.
The Big Six, if they give you an advancement check, they are going to take that money right back out of your royalties. And once your advancement check's been paid off, that's when you get royalties.
Yeah. And then after that, if you don't sell, that's it. They're not going to bother with you. That's just how life is. They go on to the next person.
That's why you have to start in the indie market, get your gathering, get the popularity.
You can still sell a lot of books and be in the indie market.
A lot of books, be a star in the indie market, and then when you're a star in the indie market, go Big Six.
Yeah.
Go
and
Big
if you
Six
never and if you never do Big Six, that's okay. You can still sell a lot of books.
It's a business.
Yes,
just don't ever write your book and think about, oh, it's a business. You know, when you're writing your book, that's the creativity tide. Just write your first draft. Let it go. Just write.
Right.
After you're done with your first draft, then send it out to your beta readers. Take the notes that you get from your beta readers and change it. Make your second draft. Once you get second draft, go to an editor. Give it to your editor. Take the notes back. Make your final draft.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen overnight. Yeah, you're right.
You know, I've seen too many new authors send out their first drafts, and I want to go, what are you doing?
Oh, I know. I tell people, I say, well, are you kidding me? At least then get it edited if you're going to send it out, not to anything else. Just make sure it's edited before you send it anywhere, because nobody wants to weed through, you know, a lot of the same story that you've repeated because you don't realize that you did it. And that is not something that only somebody that just starts writing does. It happens to a lot of authors.
And then you've got the other conundrum where, okay, I have such a control issue over my baby
that I
get a bad, I've handed it over, it's published. Oh my gosh, I just got a bad review. And then they go and they yell at the reviewer or they comment.
I know. I know.
Never, ever, ever make a comment on any single review, whether it's good or bad. You never comment on Amazon or wherever it's at. Amazon gives you the opportunity to comment back as the author. Never, ever, ever do it.
Yeah. I just think that there's just a lot of things that people don't know. So try to, you know, listen to shows, listen, you know, and make sure that you get some help. Because I think everybody, I really believe I'm very big on getting help. I think it's really important, and I think that that is what a lot of people don't do, and they join a lot of the groups, they don't know what they're talking about, and then they get bad advice, and it carries through their whole career. that they may have or may not have?
Well, you can come to Mountain Springs Pub.
Okay. So on that note, you know, I this turned out to be different than we thought. I know that it would, because you do so many different things, and I thought that they should listen to that, because I think that you are very successful now, and I think that helps. But you're admitting of what you know and what you don't know and what you needed to do to get there.
And it was a long process, but you know, and I'm still learning. I don't have a big head, and as you know, like we were talking earlier about the bloggers, how I'm always floored that people know my name.
Yeah, I know.
I don't have a big head. I'm not one of these authors. Well, look at me. I did this.
Yeah. I know.
You know, I'm a real human being. I'm a wife.
I think that's a good thing for people to know. Is that right? That authors, and what you said before is very important, that we do like to hear from people, and we do like to talk to people about this, because we like to hear what they're going to say about it. Good or bad, it's good to have somebody have an opinion, you know,
right.
And sometimes if they say something that's negative, it may help for the next book. Negative isn't always bad, but not to be thrown out there on the, you know, negative is more private, I think. If somebody tells you something privately, they can do that too. They can message people instead of putting it all over.
I wouldn't not even message you. If it's something negative and you really need to get it out, get a pad of paper out and a pencil and write it down in a journal.
Yeah. Well, otherwise, write to them and say, you know, say what you, but don't put it in. Do not put it in Facebook, because it does make, I think it makes people look bad.
Don't Google it. Don't put it in editors. Put it in a discussion board. Because 9 times out of 10, it's just going to come back to bite you.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's true. And a lot of times it really isn't right. So you can't believe everything you read.
As a publisher, let me tell you this. I'm going to Google your name. Like I admitted to you before, I'm going to Google your name and I'm going to see every single thing that you have ever put on the social media networks. Well,
yeah,
I'm not going to page one. I'm going to go on to 5, 6, 7, whatever. If I see that you have talked badly about your experience at X amount, X name, whatever the name of the publishing house is, even if you didn't put the publishing house, this name, just, you know, any bad comment you put about a publishing house, I am not going to pick you up.
Well, right. You know, it's the same thing. You know, try, you know, because like everybody, there's a reason for everything, and things do happen, and sometimes it just doesn't work with a publishing house. Doesn't mean that they're bad. It just didn't work with you.
Right.
You know, it's just how it is. Don't listen to everything you see, because it could be just that person with the publishing company. You know, you just don't know. So just kind of be more careful about what you do out there. I think
you have to watch what you're saying, because I mean there are people out there watching.
No, I definitely. Yeah. It's bad. All right, anyway, thank you so much, and I love to have you on again, and I would love to have some of your authors on again. You know, like we planned, and that's fine with me. So you'll let me know who you want me to have on. I'll be happy to have them on, and it's a pleasure having you on, and thank you so much for today. I appreciate it. Right, everybody else?
You're welcome. And
World of
Ink
is Thursday with Fran Lewis. Did you want to say something else at the end? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, just take a look at my website, www.abruning.com, and check out my books and everything there. And if you wanted more information or to contact me, you can email me at Allison, Allison, Bruning, Bruning, at gmail.com.
And your publishing house is on our blog talk, which will be going out. It is out. And it's on the link, and it's at the bottom of it. It's, you know, that your publishing house, so they can reach you if they need something done or want to talk,
right.
You know, want to get some help here.
We have
and you could always call us at, you know, www.worldofinknetwork.com or Michigan Avenue Media. We'll be happy to, you know, give you Allison's information if you don't have it. And thank you so much for being on today. It was really a pleasure. We just planned it yesterday. So it's like, you know, it was, but I knew after I talked to you, you had been around, and that was a good thing for people to hear. So
I appreciate this.
And much success.
Radio station with another blog talk radio as well. So I'm also available for anybody that has a blog, talk radio, if they want to interview me or anything, just or talk to me.
Yeah, these are good. I think it's a very good, and people should, that is a very good form of social media, is being on shows.
Yeah, I'm so completely open.
Okay.
You know, and so they just have to get a hold of me, and I will put them in touch with my assistant.
Okay, good. And then anybody you want on, you'll let me know.
I will do that.
All right, good. All right, and thank you to everybody. And Fran's show is on Thursday at 4 Eastern. Good night. Goodbye. I'm used to saying good night because it's usually by 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. Okay, goodbye. Have a good day. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.